NPR.
Today is tax day, which means a lot of us are probably thinking about all the taxes we have to pay to the government.
Yes, but today is also a good day to think about all the taxes that are not being paid. For instance, there is a law that allows people with a lot of investment income to avoid paying taxes on their capital gains if they invest those gains in places designated as opportunity zones.
Opportunity zones. So the name doesn't really tell you that much, but basically these are places designated as economically distressed because they have high poverty or low incomes. And what this tax incentive is trying to do is draw investment to those communities.
One example of that working is this company in LA called Sola Impact. It got Opportunity Zone funds to rehab affordable housing there.
There are also examples of Opportunity Zone funds being used to start small businesses. Like just a few minutes away from me in Washington, D.C., there's a recently opened craft brewery that got OZ funds. But as Opportunity Zone money has been flowing around the country for the past few years, a lot of it has been going to projects in places you might not think of as economically distressed. This is an ad for the Ritz-Carlton Residences in downtown Portland. So it's a luxury condo building where prices for some of the units sell for more than $6 million. I think the best way I could describe it is like, just picture like a mansion in the sky.
And we're looking at like a gleaming skyscraper, like a high-rise building. It looks like I would be afraid to touch anything in here.
Now that the video's over, I feel sad that I have to, like, be in my real life again.
So you watch this and you have to wonder, is this what Congress had in mind when it passed this law? This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Waylon Wong.
And I'm Adrian Ma. Who is the opportunity in opportunity zones actually for? We talk with two people with pretty divergent views on this. And while we're at it, where did this idea come from anyway?
Well, does the name Sean Parker ring a bell? If not, we'll explain after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the American Express Business Platinum Card. Get the card that's built for business by American Express.
The idea for opportunity zones did not come from the halls of Congress or some ivory tower academic. It came from the mind of a tech billionaire named Sean Parker. You know, the guy who founded Napster in the 90s, made a boatload of money investing in companies like Facebook. Well, David Wessel is a journalist and fellow at the Brookings Institution, and he wrote about Sean in his book, Only the Rich Can Play. And David says by the mid-2010s, Sean was looking for ways to, you know, to sort of pay it forward, and he wanted to solve big societal problems.
So Sean started a think tank called the Economic Innovation Group to develop the idea for a tax incentive.
They were so convinced that all the past efforts to use tax incentives to direct money to poor communities were failing because they were too complicated, had too much red tape, and had too much oversight from government bureaucrats.
And so they came up with what eventually became the Opportunity Zone Law. It said that anyone who invests money in an Opportunity Zone and leaves it there for 10 years can take the money back out tax-free. So win-win, right?
Sean and his think tank enlisted a coalition of bipartisan supporters, Democratic politicians like Senator Cory Booker and Republicans like Senator Tim Scott.
Then fast forward to late 2017. Donald Trump was in his first year of office. Congress was debating overhauling the tax code. Remember that whole drama? And this is when opportunity zones made their way into the law.
When it was being slipped into the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, there was zero attention. The first national newspaper story to even note that this was part of the 2017 tax bill didn't run until a month after Trump signed the bill into law.
But you know who did notice? State governors. They saw this as a chance to draw more investment to their states. And so they scrambled to designate opportunity zones. And when the dust settled, more than 8,000 communities across the country were labeled OZs.
By the end of 2019, billions of dollars were flowing into OZ projects. Some estimates range from $24 to $75 billion. And this got David wondering, where is all this money going and what's it being invested in?
Well, unfortunately, we really can't answer that question definitively because there's very little data available. The data reporting provisions of the law were stripped out as it went through the Senate. So, based on my reporting and the limited data we had, the money is flowing mainly to those census tracts that were already attractive to investors, like downtown Portland, Oregon, or Austin, Texas.
Key phrase, already attractive to investors.
And one piece of evidence for that comes from a study done by a pair of econ grad students at UC Berkeley. So what they did was analyze a partial sample of 2019 and 2020 tax returns to try and figure out where the OZ investments were going. And what they found was they appeared to be super concentrated. Like roughly 80% of investments went to just 5% of eligible zones. And separately, when they looked at investments overall, they found the money tended to flow to zones that might have had a high poverty rate, but also had a growing population, rising home values, and a lot of high-income residents.
In other words, places that were already on the path to gentrification, not exactly the kinds of places that might need a tax break to attract investors. On top of that, the types of projects being funded, the vast majority are not new startups or small businesses. Instead, most are real estate projects, some of which might have questionable community benefits.
There's a whole little industry in building self-storage facilities, which may be great amenities, but they don't employ any people. They're not going to uplift a community.
Other Opportunity Zone projects include office buildings, upscale student housing, hotels and condos. Remember that Ritz-Carlton in Portland?
I'm actually there in my mind right now.
It's not that no one is using Opportunity Zones to do what Sean Parker and the Economic Innovation Group said would happen. It's just that there's no requirement for that. And there's just not really a lot of social impact investors. There's a lot more profit-seeking investors.
What does Sean Parker have to say about it? I mean, were you able to talk to him?
I did talk to Sean Parker. I haven't talked to him since the book came out. I don't think he liked it very much.
We got in touch with Sean's think tank, the Economic Innovation Group, and talked with the group's CEO, John Lettieri. And he says, first off, it is way too early to tell whether the program is working or not. And he believes critics are focusing on outliers.
There's always going to be some use case that sneaks in under the under whatever bar we set. And that's very frustrating. That's just the blunt instrument of policy.
John also takes issue with that Berkeley study we mentioned earlier. As we said, it was based on a partial data set. But based on that data, researchers found only about a third of Opportunity Zones saw any investment at all. Now, from John's perspective, that is actually pretty good. He says the numbers show basically how a brand new policy is working and will improve.
So I think part of this is the Rorschach test, right? Two people can see the same evidence and they come away with different conclusions, but I would choose to interpret that as a promising start and one that we should carefully watch in future years.
Could the law be tweaked? John says, sure. Phase out the rewards for investing in already thriving neighborhoods. Make it easier for investors to put their money into small businesses rather than real estate. But most of all, he says, collect data on who's investing what where. Something he says the think tank had pushed for in the original bill.
Let's make Opportunity Zones the most closely measured, carefully evaluated policy of its kind ever. Because this is very much a policy experiment. And from my standpoint, just because it says Opportunity Zones on it doesn't mean it's by definition good. We want to see it gotten right.
And in fact, congressional lawmakers introduced legislation earlier this month that would update the law. You know, try and close some loopholes, add guardrails as to what qualifies as an Opportunity Zone. And perhaps most important of all, it would actually start tracking the data. Special thanks to John Schiretti at Novogradac and Jimmy Atkinson at Opportunity DB for talking OZ investments with us. This episode was produced by Jamila Huxtable with engineering from James Willits. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.